Good morning. As you know, we've been going through a bit of an unpacking of our mission as we've defined it in our mission statement, which is, as a faith family, we follow Jesus, bearing with and building each other up in love so that together we might experience the living God and become channels of compassion and hope to a hurting world. We've worked through most of this. We're on the very last part of this today, becoming channels of compassion and hope. I want to just unpack a little bit of a review through the first couple parts. Obviously, our mission statement is centered around following Jesus. Jesus is our Redeemer. Jesus is the one who has set us free, as Steve and the worship team led us in. Jesus is the source and treasure of our lives. It says in Colossians 2 that Jesus is the head. It says, hold fast to the head, Jesus. We follow Him. The second part was, as a faith family, bearing with and building each other up in love. We talked about that. Steve gave us that picture of the relationships in the church being the supporting structure of our life together, and how important it is to love and to care, to be involved, to be participating in one another's lives. Last week we looked at the part so that together we might experience the living God. And we had this picture of dead idols, dead blocks of wood versus the living God. The God who desires to engage and interact and to be involved in our worship and in our lives and in our time together. And today we come to this final part, becoming channels of compassion and hope to a hurting world. What does that mean? That could mean different things to different people. What does it mean to become a channel of compassion and hope to a hurting world? I want to give you a definition, a picture of what I think could be represented by this phrase. It's in your notes. A person or group of people who are learning to walk in a yielded, attentive and responsive relationship with the Holy Spirit, such that the compassionate, loving power of God and life of Jesus flows out of us onto those around us in ways that lead to healing and wholeness. It's us as the people of God learning to walk in sensitivity to what the Spirit prompts in us and through us. We shared a bunch of testimonies, several testimonies this morning in Faith in Action, of how God stirred or prompted a few people and how they responded in obedience and faith. And that's the picture of what I see as being a channel of compassion and hope, the power, the ministry, the love of the Holy Spirit working through His people. Doesn't stop with us, but it flows through us to those around us. We get this picture in John chapter 7, 37 to 39. If you want to turn there, you can. I have it on the screen as I typically do. John 7, 37 is where I see this picture of becoming a channel of compassion and hope in Scripture. One of the places I see it in Scripture, becoming a channel, something that funnels pressurizes water towards a certain direction. So John 7:37, Jesus stands up in the middle of a huge crowd and utters these words. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said of the Spirit whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus had not been glorified. The picture in Scripture, in all of Scripture, we could go back the whole way to Ezekiel's visions or to Revelation, where we also get the picture of the water of life. But the picture of a relationship with Jesus through the Holy Spirit is this outpouring of living water that flows in and through us, such that it leads to compassionate works. It leads to a renewed sense of hope. It leads to peace that others notice. It leads to loving one another as Jesus has called us to. All of this flows from a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Flows into us. It says in Romans 5, God's love has been poured into us by the Holy Spirit. And when we grow in this ability to be channels of it, we just let it flow through us. Scriptures talk about our relationship with the Holy Spirit in different ways. I have a couple of these ways in your notes there. Scripture talks about our relationship with the Holy Spirit as staying in step with the Spirit. Galatians 5. Walking by the Spirit. Living by the Spirit. Being led by the Spirit. These are all examples of how Scripture, how God talks about our relationship with the Spirit. Sowing to the Spirit. This is a relationship, needless to say. Just like any of our relationships, they're not all of the same quality. We can do things that negatively affect this relationship also. So Scripture also talks about grieving the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30, and that's in the context of relational trouble or fits of anger, jealousy, and rage. These things grieve. So the Holy Spirit is a person. Doesn't have a physical body, but he has the characteristics of personhood. He feels. And so there are things we can do that grieve his Holy Spirit. And when you get the picture of flowing water, when flowing water becomes blocked or impeded, what happens? Say a little louder back there. It backs up. And what happens to stagnant water that's not flowing? It gets nasty. It gets green and algae and dirty and foamy and just stinky water that you wouldn't look like, water that doesn't look appealing or inviting in any way. Well, as we go back to John 7, this is the picture. The Holy Spirit is a flowing. The whole picture of flowing water is that of living water. Living water flows. If water is not flowing, it's dead. Living water is flowing water. It flows out of us. And there are things that happen in our relationships that block or can block the flow of water, such that we actually don't experience the channel of compassion and hope that we hope to, that we want to. Grieving the Holy Spirit is one of these things. And it centers around relational strife and trouble. Anger, again, is a big part of that. Jealousy, resentment, bitterness, all of those things it talks about as grieving God's Spirit. Because God's Spirit is the one who has unified us in Christ. When things come between us, as brothers and sisters in Christ, it grieves His Spirit. It also talks about quenching the Spirit. And this is in the context of prophecy. It says, do not despise prophecy. How do you respond to that? Do you have an openness to God revealing something in somebody in the gathering of His people in such a way that it might be meant for another person? Do you have space in your context of church for that? It's just a question to consider. If we despise prophecy, if we look down on it with contempt, it says the Spirit is quenched. And we can also resist the Spirit. In Stephen's speech before the Sanhedrin, towards the very end of that speech, he talks about the leaders of Israel being stiff-necked, always resisting the Spirit. How do we resist the Holy Spirit? How do we resist the Holy Spirit? Blocks from receiving His Word. How do we resist the Spirit? We hear Him, but don't do anything. That's the one I first come to my mind. Are there others out there? How do we resist the Spirit?
We want to put our hands up and praise Him, but we don't.
We want to put our hands up and praise Him, but we don't. We feel some sort of insecurity or something holding us back from being able to freely worship in that way. What else might be something we can do to resist the Holy Spirit? Craig?
Backsliding,
yes. So if we think about the Holy Spirit, He's holy. That's His name. And so there are things, sin is a big grievance of God's Spirit. If it is a Holy Spirit, then there is something about sin that kind of deharmonizes our relationship with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if God brings a sense of conviction over something and we don't repent, we don't do anything with it, that's a resisting of the Spirit. Not loving and not forgiving. And that's the essence of Ephesians 4:30. There is this unforgiveness. These are all ways. So get the picture. If the Holy Spirit is the flow of living water, which moves into our hearts through believing in Jesus, and then goes out through us in acts of compassion and service and love towards one another, and if these things block that, there is something in these things that impede the work of the Holy Spirit as it goes out from us. It becomes that backed up creek or stream. The water is intended to not just flow in us, but it's to flow out of us. The Holy Spirit is given to testify and declare Jesus to the world. John 14 and John 16 tell us that that's the Spirit's purpose, to exalt Christ. And so these things grieve and hinder and block God's Spirit from working in us. Scripture also tells us in Ephesians 5 to be filled with the Spirit. It's a picture of constant filling. If you think of a stream, it's constantly flowing. There's a constant supply of water. And I think the picture of being filled with the Spirit, if you look in the original language, there is this continual asking and receiving. Continual asking and receiving. It's not a one-time filling, but it's a filling we need, and we all know we need. Constantly. How do we receive the filling of the Spirit? by faith. I think we need to ask. Sometimes we just don't even ask. So that obviously is a hindrance. Being open. Some of those things about grieving the Spirit would hinder the filling. I think it comes down to, and this is a picture we get through Scripture, how do we be filled with the Spirit? We empty ourselves of ourselves. You think of the things that grieve the Spirit, quenching the Spirit and resisting the Spirit. All these things are rooted in pride and self-exaltation, putting self over another. I think one of the ways we are filled with the Spirit is to empty ourselves of ourselves. We surrender to what God is and what God wants to do. This relationship with the Spirit, every person who trusts in Jesus, I know you know this, every person who trusts in Jesus receives the Holy Spirit. There are several scriptures in your notes that talk about this. Every person who trusts in Jesus receives God's Spirit as a seal of their guarantee, as a guarantee of their inheritance to come. But so often our relationship with the Holy Spirit stops there. So often our relationship with the Spirit is simply knowledge, and it's not an attentive, yielded, responsive relationship. Just as we were talking in Faith and Action, these promptings, there was something in our spirit, something that we received from God, a certain impression to go speak to somebody, a certain conviction, a certain leading by God's Spirit. That takes a certain sensitivity sometimes to hear and recognize it as such. Sometimes you might hear those things and just brush them off. Oh, that's too far. I'm not going to go give that guy a hug, or I'm not going to go give that guy this word. Whatever it might be, we can resist the Spirit without even really knowing it. And I think the church at large takes some responsibility for that. We haven't done a great job at teaching people what it looks like to hear from God's Spirit, to hear from the Lord as we're reading Scripture, as we're praying, as we're just going through the day. The Spirit will prompt us, and sometimes we don't do a good job at knowing what that looks like. We haven't done a good job at teaching what that looks like. All that to say, a healthy relationship with the Holy Spirit is one that's yielded, surrendered. When I say yielded, I'm getting at this idea of surrendering. In your notes, I put in a settled willingness to obey. There's this settled desire to obey before anything comes. We're yielded up to be used by God for whatever He wants us to. We're yielded to Him. We're saying, Lord, use me however you want, whatever it looks like. And then we're attentive. We're listening and observing the people around us, the thoughts that go through our mind. We're praying to God if we receive something we think is from Him. We're praying, we're searching Scripture in our mind. Does this align with what God would say? And then we're responsive. If it does align, if it is from the Lord, then we respond to it. We act out our faith. That's active faith. We act it out. We're actively relying on God in that moment. When we think we've received a word from Him, we're actively responding out our faith in God by going through and doing what we feel like, what we sense, what we have prayed through, He is calling us to do. Those are three components, I think, that are so essential for walking with the Lord in daily life, in daily relationships. We're being yielded to Him, we're attentive to Him, and we're responsive to what He's prompting us. And you all, if you're trusting in Jesus, have the Holy Spirit inside of you. He has probably spoken to you already this morning in different ways. He's prompting you now, maybe even in something that you're remembering He asked of you, were said to you. And he's prompting you right now, possibly, be attentive to that. Be mindful of that. And then respond in faith. This picture in John 7, to come back to this picture in John 7:37. Out. Just read the simple words of it. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. This is just a picture of Jesus giving. He laid down his life for us. He gave for us. And now we give to him in our service and surrender to his Spirit's prompting us. I want to get down to some practical ways. What does becoming a channel of compassion and hope actually look like in our gathering here, but also in our relationships outside of the church? We're going to get to that in just a minute. I just want to come back to a couple points about who you are. According to 1 Peter 2:9, each one of you are part of a chosen race, a royal priesthood. You are part of a kingdom of priests. You are a priest. You are an ambassador. Each one of you are an ambassador for Christ. And I'll say that the church of Jesus here and at large in the West has become what it was never meant to be. It's a spectator sport. Church has become a spectator sport in the West. We come in and we sit down, we look front, and we don't ask questions. And that's really degrading to all of you who have a gift, a unique gift mix of God's Spirit in order to manifest and exalt Christ in the body of Christ. Do you hear that? You all have a unique ability to manifest God through the Holy Spirit, given to you as He wills. And as a church, we have not done a good job at all at giving space for that to actually happen. It's become a spectator sport. One where many come to watch a few play. And that was part of what was so stirring in me last week. I love teaching, but there is something about the message time that has become more than what I think it was originally intended to be. It's become all-consuming of our worship time together, to the neglect of the spiritual gifts that are represented in the body of Christ out there. So my reminder to you is that you all have a unique and necessary role to play in the building up of the body of Christ. You all are needed. Each one of you has a unique gift mix. And one last thing you have going for you. So you've gotten the Spirit, you've received His gift, but in Jesus' ministry, the Holy Spirit had not yet been given. But in Luke 10, Matthew 28, Jesus commissions you, us, with His authority to go, to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to cast out demons. So you have two things going for you, brother or sister. You have the gift of the Holy Spirit inside of you, wanting to manifest Himself through you. And you have the authority of Christ, who said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go and make disciples. I will be with you till the very end of the age." You have those two things, church. What do you lack? You have the Holy Spirit, the giver of gifts, the manifester of Christ Himself, and you have the authority of Jesus to go. We lack nothing. We lack nothing. 1 Corinthians 12:4 is where I was going, but I already basically got to this idea. 1 Corinthians 12:4 and 7 says that you have been given a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. To each is given a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. That's pretty remarkable. I want to come down to earth. You all are not only ministers, but you have a sphere of ministry to work in. You all have an assortment of relationships outside of the church, which Jesus has given in order for you to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus. You can become a channel of compassion and hope right where you are. Think about the people you come across on your day, in your daily lives, that's sort of redundant. Your daily lives. Think about the people you come across who are overlooked. Think about the people you come across who are hurting. You have the gift of the Holy Spirit and you have the authority of Christ to minister to them. Just the other day I was at Giant in Middletown, and I don't do this often, this is not a pat on the back kind of moment. I miss more of these than I get, just so you know. But I saw a cart pusher, a grocery guy, he was going out to get the carts, and he looked just depressed as all get out, looked like he would rather be anywhere else, totally looked overlooked, forgotten. And I simply went up to him and said, "Hey, brother, I appreciate what you're doing here. You're doing a good job. Jesus loves you." And I told you, I miss more of those than I get. But all that to say is we have people all around us who feel overlooked, who society overlooks, who the church often overlooks. But you are a channel of compassion and hope. You have the authority of Christ and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You have all that you need to be a channel of compassion and hope in a hurting world. Think about those people you come across every day, a cashier, somebody you just come across in the nursing home or in your work or at home, wherever it might be. There are people all around you who are depending on your relationship with the Holy Spirit to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Think about that. There are people in your life who are dependent on your relationship with the Holy Spirit to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a unique and awesome privilege, church, to be ministers of the greatest news in the world, the greatest news in history. Is anybody excited about that? Like, I sure hope so. This is like profoundly beautiful. We get to share with people about one who gave his all for us. And the devil would like to twist this around and say that this one, like, just think about this. Like, how could Satan twist something so much that the message of Jesus laying his life down for them on the cross, dying for their forgiveness, actually is offensive to them? Like, this should be the greatest news in the world. And Satan has twisted it in such a way that it's offensive to them. And so we need to be prayer. We need to be in prayer. We have an awesome privilege and responsibility to turn that picture around. To love people, to see the unseen, and to walk in the ministry and the power of the Holy Spirit, which often doesn't look powerful. It can be powerful, and it is powerful, but it's often in the small moments in our day when we hear and sense something, the Holy Spirit prompts us, and it's in that moment. Don't miss that moment. That moment will come and go. And at that moment, you have an opportunity to impact somebody who doesn't feel seen in the world today. And tell them that there is one who came to set them free. I want to take some time. We're going to gather up and pray again. We're going to gather up again in groups 3 to 5 and pray. This is what I want this time to be, is just a time to respond. So the reality is that we serve a living God, that then He is actually speaking to you in this moment. Each one of you, He's actively speaking to, and we want to create space for there to be a response for that. We want to create space for you to pray with one another. So we'll begin praying just in groups of 3 to 5. And if it gets long or you have to leave, that's fine. You're able to do that. But as a church, we pray. We pray together. We come together. We minister to one another. Sound good? Try to keep it to groups of 3 or 5 if you can. Large groups, it just tends to leave those who don't feel a need to pray to not pray. So smaller groups tends to facilitate better discussion and better prayer. So let's go into those groups. Again, how is the Spirit speaking to you? What needs do you have to bring to the group? All right, let's do it.